welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Thank you, Music Ministry. Thank you, Minister Tamika, for reminding us why we are here today. Hebrews chapter 9, let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that when we look back and wonder how we got over, you were there. And so we have hope, oh God, that even when we weren't looking for you, you were there. So, God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this preaching time, and we want to remain in worship. We want to remain in the place where you have us. Break up the ground of our hearts that we may receive your word. Speak to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let us not focus on anything other than your sweet voice. We look forward to your power and the demonstration of it. Change lives even right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. And it reads this way, verse 11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. Say, his own blood. Thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Amen. Today, for the time we have together, just for a little while, I want to tell you that there's something about the blood. There's something about the blood. Enter, but come clean. That's the title of a chapter in a Bible study devoted to the book of Hebrews. And this guide about Hebrews was written by evangelical preacher Charles Swindoll. And in this chapter, enter, become clean, he likens this area of Hebrews to a hospital operating room. He writes that the operating room of a hospital is almost a sacred place. And if you're like me and have spent any amount of time watching Grey's Anatomy or House or ER or Code Black or Chicago Med or Saint Elsewhere, is that you? How about Marcus Welby? If you spent any amount of time watching any of these or the many, many more medical dramas, you'll know too that this description is true. Swindoll goes on to write about how the room, those hospital operating rooms, are scrubbed from floor to ceiling, and how the instruments, you know, the tools that are used by the surgeons, how they're sterilized, and how those operating rooms are off limits to anyone unless you yourself have been vigorously cleaned. Enter, become clean. These and other such measures, just like them, cleaning and sanitizing, are carried out so that the mission of that space, the purpose for that room, that hospital room, that emergency operating room, can be successful. And the mission there is so that a human life might be saved, and that being done so in the absence of contamination, disease and germs and dirt and other such impurities can't make it into those rooms, and they might endanger even the most routine procedure. Particular precautions, my friends, are taken to prevent the unauthorized transmission of bodily fluids. Precautions are exercised to prevent the spread of infection from one person to another. And none more than the thought of blood being spread. Just for a little while, I want to tell you, and I think you would agree, that there is something about the blood. If we turn to scripture, as early as Genesis, we are drawing our attention to stories where danger or passion or violence is connected or associated with blood. You remember Cain, don't you? Cain, the first human to be born of a woman, murdered his own brother Abel. And it was after this, the first recorded death, that the Lord said, Abel's blood cried out from the ground. And because of it, the ground was cursed. There's something about blood, church. The Old Testament continues to report on how blood impacts our lives and the lives of those in Scripture. You remember God sent regulations through Moses to all of Israel because of their belief that life itself dwelled in the blood. The law prohibited the touching of dam or blood. No consuming blood. No eating blood and animal meat. And strict regulations on how to handle dead things or bleeding human bodies, even women experiencing the natural developments of life. Whatever was considered impure would not be permitted in that sanitized hospital operating room where healing would take place. There is something peculiar then about blood. We read about how we ought not to touch it, but in the same way, the priests were instructed to offer it to God. The Old Testament tells us about these instructions about how priests were to offer sacrifices, blood sacrifices. And so while the laws prohibited most people from handling blood, it also directed the priests to do just that. The priests were given a prescription. Anybody know about prescriptions? The priests were given a prescription for bringing a blood offering to God on behalf of the people's sins. The blood of the very purest animals, a true and living sacrifice, was offered to the Lord God Jehovah for the payment of their sins. And then there's this Passover story. You may remember the Exodus story as the people of Israel prepared to leave Egypt to escape Egyptian captivity. The Lord gave them instructions through Moses again to slaughter a one-year-old lamb or goat that had no blemish. And if you couldn't afford one, your neighbor had to share with you. How about that, community? And they were instructed to slaughter the animal and to paint its blood over the doorposts, signifying that they had been covered by Yahweh. There's something about the blood in the hands of the obedient and faithful believer who will do what the Lord says to do. And it continues. Even as we read into New Testament scripture, we understand that in that culture, blood was that unknown thing, that mystifying element, that untouchable substance. You know, the woman with the issue, the one who approached Jesus in the crowd, who pressed her way through for a healing, that woman, the woman who suffered uncontrollable bleeding for over a decade. Well, you remember, she was labeled unclean. And even today, sisters and brothers, we wrestle to try to wrap our brains around what blood is. What does it mean? Some of us, our knees wobble at the very sight of it. But especially now, it seems as though we live in a culture where blood is just randomly everywhere. These are blood-laden days. Everywhere you look, whether it be on TV or in a magazine or in your community, is blood even precious to us anymore? Have we as a society taken the blood of our sisters and our brothers for granted? Yes, I think so. I think that in our sin, we have committed acts of violence, even us, against one another that have led to their spilled blood. And yes, I think that our culture has made a mockery of this very treasure of human life. I think that we're in days where we have mishandled the gift of blood that runs warm through our veins. And yet at the same time, while there are those who don't appreciate the gift of blood, advances in technology and medicine now allow us to transform blood, which is unhealthy, into something that is healthy. The Lord God has given us knowledge, just a drop, a blood-sized drop of his wisdom and the scientific genius to develop ways to share this precious blood with one another. God is so gracious to us. While some of us shed blood without a thought, without a care, others have learned how to use it for health and for life. Others have learned how to use this technology and gather it from those of us who have it in health and abundance and to share it with those in need. Wow, Lord. The Lord has taught us how to take healthy, type specific A, B, O, positive, negative blood and to give it to someone else through a transfusion so that they can live. Lord, you only teach us what you've already done. There's something, church, about the blood, how it represents both death and life. There's something about the blood, how it's both reviled and revered. There's something about the blood that causes us sometimes to cringe and at other times to celebrate. There's something about the blood, this red liquid that carries through the arteries and veins of the human and vertebrate animals' bodies, oxygen and carbon dioxide. There's something about the blood, this substance made of water and salt and electrolytes and proteins and red and white cells, removing waste and at the same time bringing oxygen and nutrients to the body. It's amazing. There's something about the blood. And it doesn't end there in Scripture. The uniqueness of the blood, the power of the blood, the treasure of the blood is carried deep through into the New Testament, across the Gospels and the Epistles, and lands us right here in Hebrews chapter 9. And Jesus' own earthly ministry, his teaching and works of grace and love help us to understand even more profoundly that there's something about the blood. But it's here in chapter 9 that the Hebrew writer describes the Old Testament tabernacle. Rice, you've heard about this, the tabernacle, which is now no longer a part of the community. The tabernacle had been the place where the people could meet God, even under the law, the old covenant, or the agreement with God before Jesus came. In Hebrews 9:1 says, now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. And the Hebrew writer paints this picture for us of a tent or a tabernacle where God was encountered. And there was the first curtain, the holy place. It was the outer room. And then behind that curtain, there was the inner space. You know, the place called the holy place, the holy of holies, the most holy place. And the Bible says that the priests could enter the outer room, church, but only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says that even the high priest could only enter when they carried the blood. Never without the blood could they come into the most holy place where the Spirit of the living God dwelled. Only with the blood could they come into the presence of the holy God. Never could they come into the Holy of Holies, the most holy and sacred place where the Spirit of the Lord dwelled, without the presence of the sacrificed blood. Y'all got that? Never could they come into the holy place where the Spirit of the Lord dwelled and encounter our living God unless they brought the sacrificed blood. The law to the people given under Moses required the shedding of the blood, because without it, there was no forgiveness of sin. There's something about the blood. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, before Jesus, the priests would sprinkle the blood of goats and sheep. And the Bible says the sprinkling of the blood of the goats and sheep who had been sacrificed was done so that the people would be ceremonially clean. It sanctified them enough so that they were considered clean. But this cleansing was an external one. It was on the outside. The blood only made them clean on the outside, and only for a little while. But the Bible says in the passage that we just read today, Jesus didn't come that way. But our Jesus, he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. Yes, there is something about the blood, church. But I just stopped by to tell you that there's something about his blood. That first tabernacle, that first covenant before Jesus came, those first practices of the sacrificing of the animals and the sprinkling of the blood for the forgiveness of sins was insufficient. It wasn't enough to cover the sins of the people. And it wouldn't be enough to cover our sins if we're honest on today. Those activities, the going back and sacrificing, all those sacrifices, all that blood of the animals could never purify the people from their sins. That old covenant, that first covenant between God and God's people was not the final covenant. That original covenant would be superseded or covered over or overshadowed and replaced by a new one. The old had passed away. This new covenant, now that Jesus has come, and he has come, has been offered to all. And the Jews were confused by Jesus' teachings. They were confused because he said things about blood that people didn't say. He told them they had to eat his flesh and to drink his blood, and that those who drank his blood would have eternal life. They didn't understand. And you know, every time we come to celebrate the ordinance of Holy Communion, there's a preacher and they'll stand up and say things like, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them and said, drink from it. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, the new covenant, which has been poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the new covenant in his blood, church, which has been poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. This is the new covenant, the blood of the New Testament, which has been shed for many, the King James says, for remission of sins. And now the Hebrew writer says that Jesus, not the priest, not even the old high priest, but Jesus, who was alone qualified and equipped to enter into the tabernacle, not the earthly tabernacle, but the tabernacle of heaven, the most holy place. Now he was not carrying a bowl with the blood of animals. He was not coming into the tabernacle with a bowl containing the shed blood of the goats, of the lambs. But in verse 11, the Bible says that he came with his own blood. There's something about his blood. And the Bible says that Jesus did not need to enter year after year. You know, the priests had to go back year after year, because the blood of the goats, the blood of the lambs, it covered for a little while. But Jesus didn't have to return, because when he did it, it was finished. Hallelujah. The finished work on the cross, church. The sacrificial shedding of Jesus' blood, his unblemished blood. It only needed to happen one time. The fulfillment, Jesus was the fulfillment of everything that had come before. He and his ministry was greater than that of the angels. He was greater than Abraham or Moses and David and the law. He was greater than those faithful Levites, those priests who served on behalf of the people. He was greater than any high priest who had come before. He was greater than the law, which he and they, we could never obey. So why, church? Here's the question. Why was Jesus the final? Why was he the complete? Why was he the ultimate? Why was he the perfecter? Why was his blood? Why was there something about his blood that made it a once and for all? Well, the answer is in our scripture is that Jesus was both the high priest and the sacrifice. He was both the high priest, bringing the sacrifice into the holiest places where no others could go, and he was the sacrifice. There's something about the blood. There's something about his blood. It reminds us that there's no earthly thing that's been created that can do what his blood had to do. There's something about his blood, church, that reminds us that it's the only thing that can cover everything. There's something about his blood. It confounds us. It flips the script on our understanding about how things work, because what we used to think was unclean, Jesus now shows us is holy and consecrated. It causes our minds to be confused because we only want to think about it on Good Friday, but out of the violence of the cross came ushering in of peace. There's something about his blood. It doesn't make sense to us. The blood of Jesus gives us VIP access to the Holy of Holies. You know, that rope line that you could never get by because you didn't know anybody and you didn't have enough. Well, he invites us to come into the sanctuary of the living God, the holy place, the sanctified place that was roped off to riffraff like you and me. You know, we couldn't get in. But the Bible says that when he hung on the cross, the veil was torn. And our brother Jesus, he shed his own blood. He was the high priest that God is in, and he's the high priest. So that means he was in charge. And with all authority, he invites you into the holy place. But not only was he the high priest, but he was also the sacrifice. So he paid your way. So now you can come into the holy, holy, holy place. The sacrifice under the law was temporary. It wasn't enough. It was insufficient. It could never meet your deepest need. Hallelujah. It's been said that the law was like the menu, but that Jesus was the meal. We could never escape from the penalty of breaking the law. You couldn't do it. We would spend all of our days bringing sacrifice before the holy God in order to cover our sins, but it would never be enough. God saw that our condition, and he sent himself wrapped in flesh to be a sacrifice once and for all. And now my sins are covered and your sins are forgiven forever. It's a forever kind of thing. Believe me, no matter how great we think of ourselves, our act of service or ministry, there was no amount that it could ever pay. No service that you could ever do. No sermon that you could ever preach. No song that you could ever sing. No ministry that you could ever serve. No deed that you could ever do. Nothing that could ever do what his blood had to do. There was something about his blood. There's something about the blood, church. And the blood of Jesus is more than just a collection of molecules and water and red and white blood cells. My blood doesn't carry nutrients and oxygen through the body. It does more than that. So much more. Jesus said that I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. So there's something about his blood that allows us not just to live, but to live an abundant life. There's something about his blood. Bible says that God presented Jesus as a sacrifice, an atonement through the shedding of his blood. Romans said that we are justified, made okay through his blood. There's something about his blood. Ephesians says that we have been brought near. We were once far apart because of our sin, and we have been brought near to God because of the blood of Christ. And Colossians says that Jesus made peace through the blood of the shed on the cross. Does anybody know that it was by his blood entering into your life, that transfusion that brought peace into your life, the peace that you could never buy, the peace that you could never smoke, the peace that you could never drink? It was his peace that came only from the blood. And Revelation says it was his blood that freed us from our sins. He had done nothing wrong, but his shed blood freed us from our sins. And Hebrews says that it was his blood that makes the people holy. Makes the people holy. That makes me holy. His blood makes me holy. I won't look at you, but look at yourself and say, his blood makes me holy. His sacrifice was complete. And because his blood was without impurity and his sacrifice was complete, sister, there's no need to worry that it's insufficient. It covers completely. And so I'm done. And I just want to tell you that if you're feeling low on the blood today, if you're feeling anemic, my brother, my sister, if you're feeling like you've been drained of the power to live in Jesus Christ, then I just need you to know that you just rely on his blood, and it will empower you. It will empower you, because would you be free from the burden of sin? No, because there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? No, there's wonderful power in the blood. There's power. There's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power. If you're feeling weak today, there's power. There's wonder working power. But it's only in the precious blood of the Lamb. And unlike the fading power of the lambs of our past, you know, we would come to God and offer our blemished sacrifices. We would give God what was not valued to us. We would bring things to the altar thinking that they would fix it. But it was only his blood, because there's only something about his blood. Because I need you to know that it's only his blood that will never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed for me, you know when it was? It was way back on Calvary. The blood, it's the blood, not him or her. It's the blood, not my job, not my education. It's the blood, not what my name is or who I know. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Why? Because it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never, trust me, if you've not come under the blood yet, I just need you to know that it'll never lose its power. And maybe my brothers, maybe my sister, you think, but Minister D, you don't know what I'm going through, because I've got pain in my body. I've got pain in my heart. I've got a past that nobody knows about. Well, I just need you to know today, whether you're B positive or AB or O or B negative, I need you to know it doesn't matter what the concerns are, because the blood of this lamb, this sacrifice lamb, is type specific, and no other substitute will do, because only the blood can wash away everything. Because what can wash away my sins? There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me a filthy sinner, such as I am, white as snow. I don't know how he does it, but the blood cleans me up. No other fount I know. Nothing else will do it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if you need a healing today, this blood, it suits every need. It meets every cause. There's something not about my blood, but there's something about his blood. If you need a transfusion of his blood, if you need the blood to heal your body, I think there's enough for me, and I think there's enough for you, and I think there's enough for you, and so don't worry that all the blood will be used on me. There's enough for all of us, because there's a fountain that's filled with blood. There's a fountain, it's enough for all of us, and it's drawn from Emmanuel's vein, Emmanuel, God who is with us. And sinners, like, you know, sinners, they plunge because it's a big enough amount of blood. They plunge beneath the flood. Let it overwash you. Let it overwash you. And when they do, when we do it, we lose all our guilty stains. Lose all our guilty stains. Lose all our guilty stains. Even that you don't want to tell anybody about. We lose all our guilty stains. And sinners like me plunge beneath the flood. And we lose all our guilty stains. There's nothing else that can wash away my sins. Nothing, 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 nothing. And so through the Holy Spirit, by the power of God's blood, if today you know that you have been a beneficiary of a transfusion of a sacrificial, unblemished Lamb of God, then you can join in the holy choir and let somebody else know. You can sing like the angels, even better than the angels, because you know, and you can tell the story, and you can tell your neighbor. Maybe they need to be encouraged today. Go and tell them. Tell them, I know it was the blood. Yeah, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me, because let me tell you, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me, because they whipped him all night long. Yes, they whipped him all night long. You know, a sacrifice is not a pretty thing, church. We like to make it look pretty, but they whipped him all night long for me, because one day I was lost, and before I was born and formed in my mother's womb, he knew that I needed his blood, and so he allowed them. One day when I was lost, he died on the cross. I know it was the blood for me, but they didn't just whip him all night long. They pierced him in his side. You know, the blood's got to come from the inside out, and that thing had to hurt, but he did it for me. They pierced him in his side, and he did it for you. They pierced him in his side. For me, one day when I was lost, he died on the cross, but I know, and in the midst of it, because he knew I would need the blood, he never said a mumbling word. No, he never said a mumbling word. He took it, and he never said a mumbling word, and he did it for me. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and he died. He died for me, and that's the gospel message. Go on and stand up. If you need to be saved today, there's nothing that can do it but the blood of Jesus. There's no person in this been created. There's no amount of money or job that can save you. There's nothing that can heal you. There's nothing that can save, deliver, or set you free. It's his blood and his blood alone. And it's the right type. Trust me, it's the right type. He was born of a woman. He came down through the generations. God wrapped in flesh. He was the perfect sacrifice. And he allowed himself to be beaten and pierced and sacrificed just for my sins, but also for your sins. And he hung there and he died. And they buried him, but that's not the end of the story, because he was the perfect sacrifice. He was God and God alone, and he came with all power, and he was crucified in all power, and he died in all power. It's, the Bible says it was early on the third day that he got up with all power in his hands. Hallelujah. He was the only one. The lambs couldn't get up. The goats couldn't get up. But thanks be to God that Jesus could get up. Because when he got up, I got up. When he got up, you got up with all power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's not even the end of the story, because verse 6 says he's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again for me. One day I was lost. He died on the cross, but he's coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. Will you get under the blood? Will you get under the blood, church? Hallelujah. There's something about his blood. Why don't you celebrate the Lord for the sacrifice of his blood? Hallelujah. 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 We thank God for his blood. Hallelujah. Would you join me in prayer? Oh God, we thank you. that you thought it not robbery to die for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you endured a violent death on our behalf. Something that we would never do, oh God. You did it, oh God, and you didn't have to. Thank you that you met our every need and you continue through the power of your blood. Now, Lord God, we celebrate the victory in your word. And Lord God, you invited us into the holy place. Help us now, Lord God, to share this word so that others would know that there's room, that there's room at the foot of the cross, and that there's enough blood in your precious fountain. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord our praise, hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. If you're not already standing, would you join us as we celebrate?